Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter, Corey Labounty, our producer, Dalt Orwin, is running the boards and keeps us on the air, has been doing that for a long, long time. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Coach. I hope everybody's well this morning. Looks like we got a little storm brewing out there in the Gulf, headed this way, but hope everybody takes precaution and stays safe over the weekend.
Morning, Corey Labounty.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you 52 weeks of the year here on the Prep Sports Report.
You know, as I was, it seems like every week when we come in here, there's something that just kind of hits us in the face, and I got a note this, it may have been last night. Times are running together. But a friend of mine up in Demopolis called me and said, Coach, we've had an assistant football coach that has died, a young man by the name of Joseph Browder, who had coached at Demopolis for over 20 years and kind of close to me. He was a history teacher. It's sad to know that about Coach Browder passing away, and we just ask you to be in prayer for his family. And this is a guy that gave 20 years of his life to the young, to the children of Demopolis, and Demopolis is in our listening audience. And I know Brian Seymour and those folks up there suffering through some really tough times now, and it's going to take a while for those players and coaches to get over not having this coach around. Joseph Browder has just been a mainstay there at Demopolis, and so our prayers go out to Coach Browder's family, and also go out to all the players and coaches there. And Brian Seymour, I know, is a head coach. I think this is the first coach that I was told that he had lost since he'd been a head coach. And so we send out prayers to the all the players and coaches in the community of Demopolis and Coach Browder's death. And I know Brian's dad, Ricky Seymour, had mentioned one time what a tough situation that will become now, losing a coach that has been there for that long and so loved by so many. And so our prayers go out to the Demopolis family and Coach Joseph Browder's family particularly. It's just a sad, sad occasion to know that. Corey, I know that we've got some changes that have come about as far as coaches are concerned, and today we're going to speak with one of those coaches, right?
Yeah, I mean, very excited for the last month or so. John McKenzie was hired as the new head football coach at Vigor High School, so we'll get an opportunity to speak with him, and he'll be able to give us on input on how his new philosophy will be coming to Pritchard, Alabama, and the Wolfpack of Vigor.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, I'm sure that he knows of the tradition at Vigor, and coming from where he's come from, I don't know that he's coached in a place that will have that kind of tradition, because this is a program that at one time was a national championship program in high school sports, in high school football. And I'm sure that he knows all about that. I don't know if he's ever had a rivalry like Vigor and Blount, but he's certainly into something now that'll certainly open his eyes, and I'm sure he'll do a wonderful job there. It's kind of neat, I think, when you get a coach from outside that comes into a situation like a Vigor, where tradition is such a major role. I thought it was kind of neat, Mark. I know you coached in this Alabama-Mississippi game. But our buddy Steve Mask and his son Brett is going to coach on the Alabama staff when they play that game in December.
You know, I can't tell you what that feels like. But I can tell you what a wonderful feeling it is for a father to look out and see your son coaching a sport. I don't care what sport it is.
Yeah.
Coaching and giving his lives to kids. And just in that, you know that he knows something about what you felt as a coach when you got started and you have your whole career, and that you hope that he learned from you the good parts and the bad parts, things to do and not to do. And then if you have a chance to coach with him, you know, what a tremendous, and many coaches in the state have had that opportunity. I know Jamie and Michael Riggs coached together there at Bruton, and there's many others. Those just come to my head right off the bat. But, man, I tell you, that's a wonderful feeling and good for both of those guys to have a chance to coach on the same staff in an all-star game in the summertime. And or when is that? Is that the winter game still?
No, that's going to be the one the week after. Yeah, I guess the winter, right after the
right
Super
before Christmas.
Seven. Mm-hmm.
It's in December.
Yeah. So anyway, that's, you know, it's great for Steve and Brent. What a great opportunity that'll be for both of them to be able to be a part of that staff together and be memories that they won't ever forget.
You know, I was trying to think about people that we are associated with, know, buddies, friends of ours that have had the opportunity to coach with their sons. And I know down in Dothan, Harry Wayne Parrish had the opportunity to coach with his son, and his son later became the head coach at Northview. And so I know that with in that tandem, I know they worked together. But, you know, thinking about it, I don't know, and I don't think Steve and Brett ever worked on the same staff together. But I know Brett's now at Colbert County, and that's where Steve kind of cut his teeth with Coach Creasy. And Coach Creasy was such a tremendous, tremendous influence on so many people that have gone into coaching. But I think that's just really cool. You know, another thing about that, Jimmy Perry's going to be on that staff, and Jimmy Perry was Steve's boss at St. Paul's. When Jimmy got the job, he hired Steve to be his defensive coordinator. And so in this All-Star game, Jimmy Perry is going to be an assistant to Steve in that situation. So that's kind of cool. I think that's a neat, neat situation there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the coaching staff. You mentioned it, Fairhope coach Tim Carter, Oxford coach Keith Etheridge, St. James, Jimmy Perry, Fife's Paul Benefield, Blunt's Lev Holly, and then Pleasant Grove's Daryl LeBeau, Colbert County's Brett Mask, which you mentioned was Coach Mask's son. I think that's a great staff. I think that the last few Alabama-Mississippi All-Star games that I've had an opportunity to be a part of, you just see the passion for the coaches. And when you're trying to coach according to the special rules that are in place for the All-Star game, it helps to have those veteran coaches who have knowledge of how all that works and can bring that best and put players in position to beat Mississippi, because this is a great rivalry, the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game.
And don't think it doesn't matter.
No, and we gave one away, last one that was played. We simply gave it away. And there's nothing that bothers that guy that runs the Alabama High School Athletic Association, executive director, that tears him up, because that's kind of it's pretty intense rivalry between the two states.
It was. It was the same way when Coach Washburn was running it. I mean, it's kind of like the executive director. That's his team. Okay, when Alabama goes play Mississippi, that's his team. He's not coaching it. I know it. I get it. We all do. But still, that is his organization that put together the elite of the elite in this state to go play Mississippi. And so they take a lot of pride in that. Entire staff does up there in Montgomery. It's a big deal. Also, on the basketball floor, it's the same thing in that game. It is a big deal, because the executive parts of our state and state organization, they have a lot of pride in what's about to take place, because that's kind of like a all-star game for their folks, and it's they really want to win that one pretty bad. And if you're an executive director in this state, I don't care how you got there, you are one competitive son of a gun when it comes right down to it. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, Alabama leads the series 22-11, but like Rick said, the last couple of times Alabama's giving that game away, and there's nothing like the state office holding that Crystal Trophy in Montgomery, signifying that you're an all-star winner.
You know, I'm really excited for Lev Holly, too. That just, if anybody in this area deserves to coach on that staff, it's Lev, and I'm really excited for Lev Holly to get that opportunity. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report, Radio Alabama. Good morning to all our friends along the way on the line, especially those folks down in Sylacauga, Talladega County, up on Lake Martin, where I know that there's lots and lots of our buddies there having some great times right there. And, wow, I can only imagine spending another summer on Lake Martin, Mark.
Man.
That's a lot of great memories there.
And, absolutely.
I'm telling you that. You know, one of the guys I think that has really done a job that I think sometimes is overlooked. You know, for years and years, Mark, I can remember Lefty Anderson telling me this, and I can remember Ed Lathan telling me this.
Yeah.
Every year that Theodore High School was just waiting to bust at the seams. And I think what Eric Collier's done, and we've talked about this on and off the air, what a job he's done there. And I think one of the beauties of that is, especially from our perspective here at PSR, is it's a faith-based program. And we're just tickled pink to be joined by Mark, a guy that I know you means a lot to you, was on your staff, yep. I think, at Bryant. And but Eric Collier does such a tremendous job, and we thank Eric for spending some time on a Saturday morning when he could be doing stuff with his family. And he's going to take a little bit of that time out with us this morning. Coach, good morning, and hope you're doing well.
Hey, man. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing good, buddy.
Doing good. We're doing good. We notice things that are going on in your program. You've got a defensive coordinator's job open. Ryan Little is taking a step up, and I know you're excited for him that he's taking the Chickasaw job. And kind of bring us up to date on where you are with your defensive coordinator's position.
Well, you know, like you said, Ryan went to Chickasaw. He came in and did a great job for us. But again, you know, Mark say this, and we all know this: is you want your guys to grow, you want them to go on and go off and do better things. And Ryan will do that. He's taking over a good program, and he'll continue to do things there. I'm excited for him. But you know, I've talked to 4 or 5 different guys, and here in the next week, I think I'll figure out exactly who we need to see at Ohio School. You know, the thing I look for there is who's going to come in and take care of our kids. You know, schemes important and all that stuff. The big thing to me is who's going to come in and love our kids.
That's right, Eric. And there's one thing I wanted to ask you about. You know, so many times as coaches, and I know I've done this, we've tried to find a guy in a spot who's a defense coordinator, offense coordinator, offense, whatever it is. And there's always that thing you just kind of said about who's going to take care of it. How does he fit? How does that guy fit with what everything's going on for your program? What are some things that you think are important to fitting into your program?
Well, I tell you, things I look for. First thing, I want to know if they're Christian or not. Second thing, I want to know if they love kids. Third thing that I look at is, okay, is he going to blend in with the rest of the staff? And that's things that are very important to me. And we'll find that. You know, we've been fortunate to see it over, and I've talked to some great guys. And you know how it is. Every year you can have a little bit of turnover. So it's just part of it. But I'll be honest with you. This one's been a little easier transition. I've had a lot of guys come in. I have a lot of guys talking about it.
That's a great thing, Coach. I mean, when you're talking about the excitement of Theodore High School football, you guys win a tough 7A Region 1 a couple of years ago, and then you guys are making that playoff push consistently at Theodore High School. But The pandemic kind of changed things, Coach. A couple of questions for you in regards to the pandemic. Who are you guys scheduled to play in your spring game in May?
Say that again, Corey. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Who were you scheduled to play your spring game against in May?
Oh, we were going to play Blount. Me and Lev's good friends, and we'd had that set up, and I had been talking about it for a couple of years. You know, we both picked at each other, so, you know, we're going to do this, do that. Of course, we were ready to go, and they were too, and ready to get in the spring. The big thing I want to do is see how our young kids did. But that got shut down. You got to make adjustments, and you got to make plans, and then move on.
You and I talked a little bit yesterday about making those adjustments, and I continue to say this. You do it with an eraser with this pandemic and everything else that's going on because things are constantly changing. The Mobile County Public School System officially let you guys get started on Tuesday. A lot of other schools had the opportunity to start on June 1. But tell me what you're looking forward to the most, getting all your different type of sports back on campus and the adjustments that you're having to make as a program.
But I'll be honest with you guys. Most of you guys have coached. There's a lot of changing going on. And it's one of the things you just got to adjust with the times. We've had the kids come in the small groups this week. And what we did is we worked on the paperwork. And then we walked them through some of the things we were going to do this coming week. And all the kids and even the coaches said, we got to do this every day. Yeah, we got to temp check them every day. We got to go through a list of different things we got to do every day. It is a lot. I'll be honest with you guys. And Corey, like you said, it's changing consistently. I'm just hoping here in the next 3 weeks it'll change for the better a little more. And that's been happening, you know. So that's what I'm praying for. The thing I'm looking forward to is seeing the kids. The thing I realized over the last 2.5 months. I really, really miss those kids. Now, that's been hard on me, and them too. So I was glad to see all the kids come in the other day, and they filtered in and out. So I'm just looking forward to that, spending time with them kids.
You know, Eric, I think one of the things that I think we all have that same feeling is, and you mentioned it just now, is missing the kids. And I talked to a guy the other day. He said, you know, Coach, I was going to retire. I was going to teach one more year. But I realized by being at home for those last couple of months that I can't retire. I'd just go crazy. And he said, heck, I'm gonna teach and coach as long as they'll allow me to now. Because, those 2 months, 2.5 months that we miss being with the kids, heck, I realized how important they were to my life. And so that's – I think that kind of – consumes a lot of people having been away from these kids that long, more so coaches probably than any, because they both teach them and coach them at different intervals.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I'll be honest with you, I've got my 25.
Yeah.
And I could have been, you know what, I think I'm going to move on to do some other things. But number one, I think I have fixed everything around my house in the last
2 months. That's the truth.
So there's been a lot of to-do lists and honeydews going on at my place. But you're right. I mean, I enjoy my routine. I enjoy getting up in the mornings and going into the office and seeing the kids come in and out. And being around other coaches. Guys, y'all know this. That's huge. So it's funny. It seemed like me and you had already talked. So
yeah.
You're right. And I got 25 in, and I can go anytime. But you're right. I enjoy those kids.
Yeah.
And it does affect your life. And it does affect the way you look at things. You know, if I sit back and look at it for 2 months, I thought, no, I ain't ready to get out. So I'm looking forward to some more coaching.
You know, I remember, it's really funny, when I went to UMS in 2009 as a middle school coach, and again, I'm going to thank Terry Curtis and Ed Lathan for that opportunity. It was a great thing for me. But I remember sitting around one day, I think we were at the lunch table, and somebody just asked him, this is 11 years ago. 11 years ago. Somebody said, well, Terry, when are you going to retire? You know, just messing with him. And he looked real quick. He says, and do what? All my friends are coaches.
Yeah.
Everybody I associate with has something to do with coaching. What am I going to do? And he had a valid point. He had a valid point. And you're right, Eric. You know, I hear you saying that, and it's something, you know, I know I look for it into this future. It'll happen one day. But what in the world am I going to do? I mean, I've been around kids and coaches all my life. All my life. And it'll be it'll be like a vacant spot. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Coach, you're right. I mean, I tell you, I don't hunt. I don't fish. I don't play golf. So, you know, my hobbies is, crazy as it sounds, been around kids and coaching kids.
That's right.
And been around ball.
That's not crazy. Right. That's because you made such a huge difference in a lot of kids' lives and continue to do so. And here, we wish you nothing but the best. Godspeed, blessings, and we hope to talk to you soon. Take care, brother.
Well, thank you guys for having me on, and y'all have a good morning.
You too, Pat. God bless, Coach.
Eric Collier, head football coach at Theodore High School. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to PSR. We're talking a little bit with Eric Collier about things that are going on at Theodore. Of course, they're going to be replacing a defensive coordinator. Ryan Little took the job at Chickasaw, and so I'm sure Eric will make a good – he'll have a plethora of candidates for that job, I can assure you. And I'm sure he'll make an excellent pick for that position. You know, one of the things that we've done here for years – is we have encouraged former athletes or maybe just people that love the game to get involved in officiating. And there's been, I think there's, we've lost a lot of really good officials due to age, to be honest with you. And we're not replacing as many as we're losing. And one of the things that we're really, we're one of the advocates for former athletes getting involved with the sports that they played and officiating those. And I'm thinking that we got a caller on the line. Don't we have – who do we have on? Rick Johnson. Okay, Rick's on the phone with us, and I'm sure Rick wants to talk to us about that. I know Shot Lose and I have talked about this at a bunch of different times. Good morning, Rick. Thank you for calling in. And kind of give us a rundown of where we are with officials and when y'all are meeting. I know it's that time of year that you begin to gather officials and congregate, and with this social distancing, I don't think it'll be a problem. I know y'all can spread out, but kind of bring us up to date and welcome to PSR, and thanks for being a part of our show this morning.
Morning, Coach. How you doing this morning?
I'm way too blessed to be stressed, but you know, let me tell you, Rick, I'm glad you asked that. Maybe you have a cure for this. I got a little gout in my ankle. You got any things that might help me with that?
I don't, Coach. I sure don't.
I figured I'd throw that question at you, pal.
I can't help you with that. I'm sorry.
Well, give us a rundown on where we are with officiating and what we can do to help you and what all's going on with you guys.
Yeah, we, the Mobile Metro Football Officials Association, we're actively recruiting. We do all the time, but we especially try to get on the radio with you guys at the beginning of the season and see if we can get some folks interested and some folks coming out that have been involved in the game or maybe just love the game and never been involved with it but just love it. Want to get more involved with it, get back to the community and do something for the kids and stay active. We're open to anyone. Give it a try, females, guys, young guys, old guys, it doesn't matter. We're open to anyone to give it a try.
And that's the biggest thing, Rick, that we've seen when we've talked to Mark Jones, who is director of officials here in the state of Alabama. He's talked about just if you have ever played or even if you've watched as a fan and you want to be involved in the sport, no matter the sport, but especially a fall sport that's sitting right here on top of us, football officiating is definitely a way to do that. I mean, there's so many benefits of officiating. One of them, having an opportunity to be inside of the game, having an opportunity to make a little extra money while you do so. But there's such a need for great and upcoming officials. And like you said, young or old, it doesn't matter. Just come out to be a part of the game of football. And I know you guys normally meet once a week. And a lot of people, some of the first things they ask, well, how much training do I get to become official? What does it take to become official once I join the association? What are the dues and how much does it pay to be an official?
Well, as far as training goes, we'll start meeting June the 17th, coming up right around the corner here. We'll meet every week from then until the football season is over with. And the dues for the Mobile Metro Football Officials Association are $63, and the state is $60. The training will be every week, like I said. We meet from 6 to 7 for a general meeting. Then we meet from 7 to 8 for our training meeting. This first meeting, June the 17th, would just be a general meeting. So that would be just to get to know everybody, get the information out to everyone, and then we'll start meeting and training the following week. We have a classroom by position. We take our new people and put them in a separate classroom, and so they can learn what's going on until they decide what position they want to settle in on. Pay for the games. It has gone up in the last few years. Mark, like you said, Mark up at the state, he's been a big advocate for us, and we've gotten a pay raise last year. You're not going to get rich doing it. If you're looking at making a lot of money, or making money like you would at a job, you probably need to look somewhere else. But if you want a little side gig, it's good for that, and it keeps you active. It ranges anywhere from $45 for a middle school game right on up to $110 for a varsity game.
You know, the great thing about that, Rick, is this, is you're giving back to a game that gave so much to you, that played Absolutely. A role in your development. And, you know, one of the things that, just talking personally, I officiated college baseball for about 20 years, a little more than 20 years, and high school baseball during the same time, and did the same thing in high school and college basketball. And the people I worked for were kind enough to allow me to do that, because we needed, I'm not going to say good people, because I'm not going to say I was a good one, but I was fortunate enough to work my way up into NC2A Division I. And I felt good after any game that I called, because I was giving back to a game that had meant so much to me in my lifetime. And I would imagine most of you guys feel that way when you walk off the field. You know, you're giving back to a game that helped develop you not only in character and citizenship, but in social values as well.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And getting into officiating, it's like a brotherhood, and we just enjoy the camaraderie of getting together. A lot of times after the meetings, we'll go out to a local restaurant, get a couple of big tables pulled together, and just sit around and enjoy fellowship together and have some time together to talk about our games. And it's just a good time to get together with your friends and make new friends. Love doing it. I was almost disappointed when they were talking about not having a football season because of COVID-19. I think we've turned a corner on that as far as football is concerned. It looks like we're going to be full steam ahead. Everything holds true.
Looking forward to that, Rick. Again, where are your meetings and when do they start again?
They start June the 17th. They start at Davidson High School at 6 o'clock. I would like to try to get anybody that's interested in starting this year to either give me a call or go on, send us an email on our email page. Because we do have a COVID-19 policy that we're trying to get instituted. Everybody that comes in, because we're working with a public high school, Mobile County Public High School, we had to set out a policy to make sure we're safe as well. And so I'm going to give you my phone number and our association email address. And if anyone's interested, they're welcome to call me, or they can email, and myself or one of the other officers will email them back and give them everything they need. If they do happen to show up at the meeting without doing that prior, we'll take care of them anyway. They will have everything they need.
All right. What is your number, Rick, if you don't mind?
My number is 252. I know that's not a local area code, but it's 252
717-5692.
All right.
And the email address is mmfoafootball@gmail.com.
All right, one more time.
M-M-F-O-A.
F-O-A.
Football.
Yep.
At Gmail.
Rick, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. And anything that we can do to help you guys, you pick up that phone and call us, and we'll do everything we can to help you, okay?
All right. Thank you, Coach Cleveland. And, Corey, appreciate you guys letting me come on this morning. And I love your show. And keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks a bunch, Rick. And we look forward to seeing you and talking to you soon, pal.
Thank you.
Those guys do an amazing
job. That's amazing.
You know, they just do. And they take a lot of heat on Friday nights, you know, and during ball games, you know, and stuff like that. And everybody notices the big call or whatever, you know. But they're out there doing their job. And we need more good folks in there officiating. I'll never forget that. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? I was at a meeting in Montgomery, and they were talking about the need for more officials, and because the number of officials has dropped dramatically over the last couple of, or last 5 years, and we just don't have enough of them. We need more folks officiating all of our sports, especially the big sports, you know, where you need a lot of officials, in football, basketball, baseball, soccer. We need folks out there doing that. And we also need to remember our role as coaches, what our role is in that, and to be respectful of them, treat them with respect, and not incite our players or our fans to get vocal or angry. Just show sportsmanship through the deal. And it's, you know, everybody gets competitive. I took anger management for years and years, and no, I'm kidding. It's just a thing that we have to work at to know that they're out there doing their job as best they can. They don't care who wins the game. That's not their deal. They're out there to do the best job that they can, and we need to respect their job and what they're doing.
Nothing bothers me nearly as much as this. When you see fathers standing on the fence yelling at officials, I mean, it bothers me to no end. And you know, that's one of the things I love about UMS Wright. The stands are away, and there's a track that separates the sidelines, and, you know, you don't have that opportunity. And whether it's a home or a visitor, you just don't – at our place, you don't see that. But now I know when I go to different ball games at different locations, it just bothers me. It chaps me to no end to see a dad out there yelling at officials when all he ought to be doing is just encouraging.
Right.
You know, just encourage our kids. Just encourage our coaches. People standing there hollering at coaches and doing that's just that nothing bothers me more than that. I don't ever remember a coach friend of mine that went to somebody's job and yelled at somebody for them not doing their job as well as they could do it. I guess everybody thinks they can coach and officiate, but in all reality, it's a tough job on both ends. I can assure you that. Try making a decision what play to run in 15 seconds.
Yep.
That's tough. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
That's good. Now, I don't want to cut Chicago off when we're talking about Saturday in the park. Sometimes I wish I did spend Saturday in the park, Mark.
Just, Saturday in the park's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's not.
I tell you what, Saturday evening sunset at Mullet Point Park.
Okay.
Beautiful sunset hitting off that bay out there.
Well, I can tell you
it's
now.
It's beautiful.
Now,
that's a beautiful thought.
Now, Cajun Girl has heard that, and that's probably where I'll end up. And I can put
probably won't get to go tonight. You ain't gonna get no sunset tonight.
Be nasty. Now, one of the things we're really excited about around here is when we get a new coach in, and he gets to come into a a situation where there's great tradition, and I don't think there's any greater tradition. You look in Mobile and you think about tradition, you think about Murphy and Viger. And John McKenzie is taking that step to come in and take the head football job at Viger High School. And, you know, what a tremendous, tremendous opportunity that is for any coach. But I think John has been around long enough to realize that the opportunity to take a job like Viger High School is one that is something you just can't bypass. Coach, welcome to PSR. Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter. About 84 years of coaching experience with those two guys, and Corey LeBounty, who's got a little bit of that coaching stuff wet behind the ears himself. But welcome to PSR, and we're glad to have you in Mobile.
Well, I'm glad for the opportunity, and like you just said, the tradition at Viger is so big. It was great excitement for me and my family to get an opportunity to come to Viger. You know, after coaching 30 years of college football, you know, I wanted to, you know, test the waters in high school, and I started in Mississippi at a smaller school, but when the opportunity presents itself like Viger, you know, I jumped on it. I love the Mobile area. It was one of the areas that I recruited. So I'm just excited and looking so forward to our football season and our Viger family.
You know, Coach, we're so glad to have you here, and we want to welcome you to this area, and just know that Viger High School, and you'll hear all about that community, those people, that core around that school. They love that school, and they love the tradition there. So if you want a challenge to coach some football, some people who love football, you are in the right spot, buddy.
Yes, I agree with you. And it reminds me of my high school back in Florida. You know, I'm a resident from Miami, Florida, and I attended Central High School. And if you know anything about high school athletics in the Miami area, Central is one of the most prestigious when it comes to following and family. And, you know, Viger reminds me of that. It's the same school colors, green and white. So I know they've always been a strong tradition. You know, I'm familiar with Ralph Brazil. I played with some guys in college that played at Viger High School. And like I said, during my recruiting trail, Viger was one of the spots that I was going to always stop in and try to get some players from.
One of the great things, your principal, Gerald Cunningham, allowed you to hit the ground running as soon as you were board approved. During this pandemic, you had to do the Zoom meetings. You had to meet the parents and your players through the Zoom meetings. How has that gone, and what are you looking forward to getting accomplished this coming Tuesday when you're actually able to get them on campus?
Well, it's been going pretty good. I mean, it's different, and, you know, especially when you come into a situation, you like to look people in the eyes. But, you know, in Zoom, you know, a lot of people block out their video so they can see you, but you can't see them. So this coming Tuesday, there will be a lot of excitement for me to kind of put a name with a face and a face with a name, per se, and just get excited. But great participation so far with our family members, great participation with our players. And like I said, it's been different, but I'm just looking forward to just seeing these guys move around and as a staff to come together and kind of put this thing in motion and look forward to some great things.
You'll also be the school's athletic director. I know coming in, you're just not looking at football. You're looking at all sports. And what steps and precaution is Viger taking, and you as an athletic director, this being something new for you in a new position to where the student athletes get on campus on Tuesday?
Yes, you know, we had to come up with a COVID-19 plan for the athletic department, not just the football program, and also our band, as they will be participating during the summer activity. So we definitely have a lot going on campus starting Tuesday. We kind of stagger our starting times that would meet the need of all our sports. So we're doing the things that we need to do, and we got things in place. So we're just looking forward to putting it all together. We hired a new basketball coach. He has a plan that he want to implement with his guys, women's basketball, cheerleading, band, tennis, and volleyball. So we definitely have a lot going on, and we got to make sure we stay up under the guidelines and do what's right to keep everyone safe.
Now, I know we got about 2 minutes left with you, Coach. I when you took the job, and I know you knew it, first thing was probably told to you after, hey, look, let's take care of these academics, but there's somebody on the schedule that's called Blunt, And that game is pretty important. And this year, you're blessed enough to where I do believe that game will be played at Pritchard Stadium. It'll be a home game for you.
Yes, that, like you said, that was part of the interview process, the Blunt game. The committee wanted to know how I felt about Blunt. Like I said, I know about the traditions. I know about the big games. And when it's the first one on your schedule, that I think that makes it a little bit better because now you know your kid's going to be totally focused on that game. And even when I talk with the parents, when I talk to the kids, that conversation gonna always come up. So again, we're gonna work towards our goals, and Blunt is on the top of our schedule, and we're just looking for that game, especially at home. I've talked to a bunch of alumni that I know personally, a lot of folks that I don't know that even in the 60 classes, the 1963, the 1964 classes. They're real excited about it, and we're looking forward to that game.
Well, I tell you what, it's just a tremendous tailgating experience. They get out there 7, 8 o'clock in the morning there, whether the game's at Pritchard Stadium or on Blunt's campus, and it just reminds you of that HBCU atmosphere to where you just really love it, and the community embraces it so well, and the teams go out and compete, and it's just unity in the community. But when that football is snapped that Friday night, the teams just get after one another, and you just love that. And I look forward to welcome you to this type of rivalry.
Well, I definitely appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to it also. Like I said, I love that kind of atmosphere. I'm glad it's on. You know, Alabama is built like that anyway, the state of Alabama when it comes to football. So I just love the atmosphere, and can't wait till it happens. Looking forward to it.
Coach John McKenzie, we certainly appreciate you taking time out this morning to visit with us. Good luck at Vigor. We know you will be surrounded by an array of very loyal Vigor, the family at Vigor. I can assure you that, and you're blessed to be in a situation like that. We're mighty happy for you.
Okay, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Take care, John McKenzie,
the head coach at Vigor, and look forward to watching his teams play. We'll be back with more PSR. That first hour just kind of flew by. And we're going to want to talk a little bit about Pat Dye. Try to get a couple of his former players on if we can reach them. Passing of Pat Dye is a sad thing for the state of Alabama, yes, and really for the Auburn family. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
This is the day of the expanding man. That shape is my shame.
We let it go there. I don't want to tell y'all how many people sent me emails and text messages about, Coach, just let Steely Dan play. Just let him play.
You know what I'm worried about is that we let it play so long, they're going to want us to just stop talking and listen to Steely Dan every Saturday morning.
That's pretty much what they said. These some of my buddies, and a couple of my golfing buddies said, hey, just let Steely Dan play and you be quiet. So that's kind of cool. Of course, we love Steely Dan, Boz Scaggs. Those are our people here. But, you know, guys, I don't know that any college football coach has had the impact on high school coaches as much as one Patrick Fane Dye. Coach Dye passed away this week at the age of 80 years old. And I've got 100 stories, good stories, about Pat Dye during my coaching time. And we're going to get Brent Bedsole on here at 9:30 this morning, and Brent was at Auburn with Coach Dye, and I know there's a lot of things that he'll want to talk about Coach Dye. But Mark, I know that, you know, when he came to Auburn, he hired Joe Witt and James Daniels, two amazing coaches. Joe Witt, of course, from Robert E. Lee, and James Daniels from Enterprise High School, and you know, the beauty of that was they were men who probably never thought they'd get that opportunity because they were men of color. They were African Americans, and two amazing African American men that just were, I'm talking about just dead gum good football coaches, but even more so just two amazing men.
Yes.
And two people that I had the opportunity to coach against, and two men that came into places where I coached and recruited. And let me tell you this about those two guys. They made a difference in a lot of children's lives, from Robert E. Lee from Montgomery, Alabama, and from Enterprise, Alabama. And Coach Dye probably did the best thing that could have ever been done for Auburn University when he hired James and Joe, and they just did a fabulous job there. And when I saw this, one of my buddies in Sylacauga and he lives at Lake Martin, Rick Morris, has had the occasion to spend a lot of time with Coach Dye out at his farm and eating dinner at different places with him. And I can only imagine the sentiment and the sorrow that Rick felt. His family's been an Auburn family for many, many years, and his uncle was a huge booster there at Auburn, but just to hear the stories about Coach Dye that have come out, that's just a few of them, and there's thousands of them about how he helped other people. And I know, Mark, in your tenure, you've probably had a lot of dealings with Coach Dye and his staff, but it doesn't matter if you're an Alabama and Auburn fan.
No.
Patrick Fain Dye was a guy that you just had to love because of his zest for life and the way he treated his players and the way he treated his coaches. And he was tough. Ain't no doubt about it. I can remember talking to many of his coaches, said, "Guy, he was one of the toughest guys you'll ever meet, but he was also that soft, tender-hearted man." Can remember when Greg Pratt died, one of his players. He goes into a room with 125 other Auburn players, and Pat Dye is just crying his eyes out. That's how he felt about his players.
You know, I would tell you, I remember when Coach Dye came to Auburn. Alabama had been on a long winning streak. And I was going to talk about the Alabama and Alabama coaches, high school coaches, because one of the things that I saw and witnessed firsthand was how Coach Dye had such a fantastic relationship with the high school coaches in the state of Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and our surrounding states. He just did a great job with it. He made you feel welcome as a high school coach every time you came in their door. And I was just telling the guys this story. I can't remember the year, but it was years ago, back in the mid-'80s, when Coach Dye and Auburn had their big, they still have it, at that time it was the Auburn Coaching Clinic, and they invited coaches and staffs from around the country to come. Well, this particular year, the University of Michigan staff was there, and the head coach, Bo Schembechler, was there. And on Friday night, I think it was Friday night, he had this big fish fry. Oh, my gosh.
It was a lot of fish.
That's the reason I went, if you want to know the truth, because it was so good. So anyway, they get this big fat fish fry, and we're all eating fish. I come to sit down, and I was just talking to one of my other guys I coached with, and I happened to sit, and I looked up, and I was sitting right across the table from Bo Schembechler and Pat Dye. And of course, I was about 27 years old, 26 years old. I almost froze. You know, I was like, holy cow, I'm sitting in front of two of the greatest coaches, you know, of our time. And Coach Dye looks up at me. I'm just a little, I don't remember if I was still coaching middle school or what, but I was just little high school coach, you know, in my 20s. He looks up and asks me where I'm from. He asks me what I coach. And, you know, and I said something, I told him a little bit about being a middle school coach at one time and coaching, I think I was at Benjamin Russell when this happened. Anyway, Coach Schembechler, when I said middle school, he popped his eyes up at me and he says, "You know, Coach, that's the lifeblood of any athletic program." I won't ever forget that. It hit me and I went, wow, you know, he is exactly right. And, I never forget, I won't ever forget Pat Dye just making me feel welcome to join in a conversation he was having with Bo Schembechler.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about Pat Dye, and you talk about him being able to recruit and be able to acknowledge the fact that, hey, I'm going to take an athlete like Bo Jackson and allow him to utilize his talents, and I'm not only going to recruit him, I'm going to recruit his family and his parents, and I think that's the biggest thing that the high school coaches understood. Yes, he had a great relationship with many high school coaches and understood, but it's that southern twang that he had, something about his voice. I mean, you talk about Bear Bryant's voice, Gene Stallings' voice, Pat Dye's voice. You can close your eyes and you can hear a clip, and you can identify who he is and what his brand is, which is Auburn University, and what he meant to the many men. Because I'll never forget being a young man growing up, and Daryl Electron Williams makes the commitment to Auburn, and the influence that Electron Williams had as a freshman in that 89 Iron Bowl. And that just goes to show that, of course, Pat Dye knew the type of athlete that Electron was, but was able to go ahead and get him to become part of that Auburn family. And that's one of the things that I know that many, many people have talked about, how Pat Dye embraced how to become an Auburn man.
You know, there's a couple of stories that just fall right off the shelf when I think about Coach Dye. And I can remember sitting at Northview High School in Dothan, and Coach Dye came in, and Harry Wayne wasn't there, and I was just kind of doing what I was told to do, and we sat down and talked, and we talked for about an hour, just sat there talking about everything from quail hunting to basketball, tennis. He loved it all. But the two stories that I think stand out for me, Alvin Briggs is the assistant executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. The early 80s, Alvin played at Greenville High School, and Greenville was pretty doggone good in those days. And Alvin, of course, was an outstanding athlete, and Auburn was recruiting him. And Alvin had been at track practice, and he came home one day, and there was a strange car sitting out in his driveway, and he wondered who it was. He kind of figured it was a recruiter or something. But when he got in there, he walked in the kitchen, and Coach Dye was sitting at the table eating his supper, Alvin's supper, with Alvin's mama. And when Coach Dye left, he said, "Alvin, I'll talk to you soon." He was not recruiting Alvin that day. He was recruiting Alvin's mama. So, and he did a pretty doggone good job of that. And then the other thing that I always liked, and I've heard Coach Dye tell this story, one of the trustees in when he was being interviewed, it was a time when he Alabama had kind of had their way with Auburn, and guy asked him, "How long will it take you to beat Alabama?" And Coach Dye looked at him and he said, 60 minutes.
That's right.
And he achieved a great record. He really did. He won over right at 99 games. I wish he'd got to 100, but 71% win rate in 12 seasons. And only Mike Donahue and Ralph Jordan have surpassed him as the most wins in school history. Pat Dye, I'll never forget all the stories and all the good times that we shared as coaches with Coach Pat Dye, and we certainly remember him in a very positive way. War Eagle, Coach.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Breaking news. That's Michael McDonald, and he used to be the lead singer of the Doobie Brothers, and he is going back on tour with the Doobie Brothers, but that tour has been canceled this summer because of COVID. And, yeah, I do have tickets, and PSR will go on that Saturday when I'm in Nashville.
I get to pick the music that day?
You can. I don't think they'll let you.
I tell you what, I've got a song I've been listening to that I got to convince you, Rick. I got to let you squeeze this one in. Righteous Brothers.
Oh, man. That's...
Oh, my, I heard this song. I had heard it. I've heard it a million times. And I heard it. It's not Unchained Melody. What was the... Oh, now I got brain lock. I tell you what, sometimes
from the Righteous Brothers.
Yes,
Dalton can find it for you here real quick. I promise you, and he'll probably play it here when we leave on
that.
That
is a great song.
The Righteous Brothers. That's a terrible tragedy about the Righteous Brothers too. You know that. I mean, it's a sad story if you read it. But anyway, that's another story for another day.
You know the Bill Medley.
Yeah.
He sang the song in Dirty Dancing with Jennifer. I can't even think of her.
Not Jennifer O'Neill.
No. Jennifer. But he sang that. The theme song, whatever it was. Yeah. That was, they sang that song together.
Well, we got to go.
I'm sorry.
We got to get to Chris.
My bad, Chris.
Chris, I will apologize, but thank you for taking some time out this morning. We're reminiscing about Steely Dan and Michael McDonald and
I think that's even too old for Chris, I'm afraid.
I don't know.
Hey, well, I got to catch my breath because I've been out here on the back patio dancing, so I'll this
morning. I would have paid money to see that.
That's funny, Chris. That's good. I would have paid a lot of money to see that.
That's awesome, Chris.
Coach, I know it's been a busy time, a busy week for the Warrior program at Cottage Hill. You guys were actually able to start back on Monday. Tell us about the process and how happy everyone was to get back on Cottage Hill's campus and start with the new process, Dylan, coming back from this pandemic.
Yeah, Corey, for several weeks prior to getting the go-ahead from Alabama High School Athletic Association, we sat down as an administration, and you know, Mr. Jeremy Sandifer is our head of school, and he's a supporter of athletics and a great man to work for. We sat down with our entire athletic department with coaches to start putting a plan together for our path to return. Each week we had to tweak it, of course, as new information was released. We communicated with our families and, of course, just wanted to be totally transparent of what it was going to look like once our student athletes returned to campus. And as always, first and foremost, not only just in this time, but as always, the goal is to keep our student athletes and coaches healthy and safe, you know.
And that's what's very important. When you start looking at the health of your student athletes, of course, that's at the forefront of this whole return from the pandemic. But, Coach, what are some of the things that, as a coaching staff, that you guys have done this week? I know I looked on television and through Twitter, some schools throughout the state of Alabama, after they finished on Monday and Tuesday of acclimating their student athletes back to, okay, we're doing daily temperature checks, we're doing weightlifting, but I actually saw some throwing of the football, some competitive drills that were done with masks. What kind of things are you guys going to do?
Of course, going into the first part of this week, each coach and our whole entire athletic department spent a couple of days educating our players on what training and practices would look like and be like in this situation of COVID-19 life. You know, the screenings and the check-in to what doors to enter facilities to ensure large gatherings don't take place and teams don't intermingle, to X's marked on the gym floor from lining up on rain days for football and, of course, with our basketball program, to additional markings on the field. You know, all those precautions as of course, taking place. The facilities are as clean as they have ever been. And, of course, we continue to educate our student-athletes daily because, as coaches, we are that of educators, and just trying to get this transition to take place. But it's been a great week. You know, football, boys basketball, boys and girls soccer have all started this week, and we know we got volleyball, girls basketball, and cross country starting up next week, and then cheerleaders will be on campus 2 weeks after that. So we're just glad to have our kids back on campus. You know, you and I have joked about it before, and I know Coach Cleveland knows what I'm talking about like this. I'm a hugger. You guys are huggers. Mm-hmm. We like to interact with our kids, so we're trying to be creative and doing fist air bumps and you know, air high fives and all that kind of stuff. But we love our kids, and we're just glad they're back on our campus.
Now, one of the things that from the school year ending, you always go through the transition of coaches or new coaches on campus. I know that you have a new varsity cheer coach as well as a new cross-country coach. And also, you now have a new strength and conditioning coach as well. So tell us about your new additions to the Warriors program.
Yes, we do have some new additions, but what's fortunate for us is these individuals have been on campus in some capacity already, so they know the Warrior way. They just have new titles. Coach Baron Tyson has taken over our strength and conditioning program. He's an ex-athlete at the University of South Alabama, plays football, but then finished up his career, you know, in track and field, and is very, very knowledgeable. He's actually getting married today, so we're going to give him a couple of days off next week to celebrate his marriage. Miss Cindy Hall, of course, is a longtime cheer sponsor at MGM. She's our college and academic advisor. She does a tremendous job and is a huge supporter of athletics. And then Molly Broders has taken over the cross-country position that Baron Tyson had last year, but she was already on staff, and I know she's excited. She's going to be meeting with her runners on Monday via Zoom and hopes to getting started by the mid of next week.
Well, Coach, I know you're very excited with all the new coaches' positions that you have filled as far as doing it the Warrior way, and I know you're excited to be around kids and to see your kids and continuing to watch them grow as the summer progresses. Now, you guys, on the football schedule-wise, who do you open with?
I'd probably have to say this is the most difficult and toughest schedule we've had in school history. You know, we're in that 3A Region 1, which is very, very tough. We know that someone from this region has either won or played for the Blue Map the last 5 years, whether it was Mobile Christian a couple of times, Flemington, Hillcrest, Evergreen, and, of course, marking them at Bayside. And then our non-region games, we have two 5A teams on our schedule this year. We got BC Rain week one at home, and then we go to Ladd and play LaFleur week five. So we've never played a 5A school, and this year we got two of them on our schedule. So we're embracing that opportunity and challenge, and our kids deserve that opportunity to be in some big-time games like that.
Well, Coach, I know that you're going to do a great job as from an athletic director standpoint, and I know from a school-wide leadership standpoint, Cottage Hill always does it the right way. So I'm really pulling for you, and during this pandemic and just as things continue to evolve, praying for you and the Cottage Hill family.
Hey, we appreciate it, Coy. I'm just glad we're able to talk about some sports and have that plan in place for us to get back in the fall, 2.5 months away from fall competition starting, and we just appreciate what you guys do at PSR 52 weeks out of the year, man.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris.
We appreciate that, Chris. That's Chris Brazell, who's the athletic director, head football coach at Cottage Hill, and been the baseball coach for many, many years. He doubles up. Still does it. And we appreciate everything that you do for Cottage Hill and for kids on that campus. He does a great job, and I mean that. And that's I'm just thinking, Mark. Thinking about all the things that you guys are going to go through just in the weight room, just to keep up and to cover every base that you've got to cover, and it's going to be pretty intense as we move into August. And I'm still not sure when we're going to play our first game. I'm still not sure of that. I don't know how that's going to play out. I bet I've been asked that 500 times, and it's, I can't answer that. I don't even think Steve and them can answer that at the state office. I think it's all going to be determined by the CDC and, I mean, the Center for Disease Control, and I don't know.
I kind of think part of me, and I don't have any idea. I haven't talked to anybody at the High School Athletic Association, so this is all my own pure speculation. I would say a week after 4th of July week, they're going to take a look at the numbers.
That's cold-blooded.
Righteous,
that
brother.
That is cold-blooded.
I'll stop and be quiet.
Yeah.
Y'all listen.
Yeah. This will take us out of break, into break.
Grief holding your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
I remember the 35 sweet goodbyes when you put me on the Wolverine of Duanandere. It was still September when your daddy was quite...
There's a story behind that song. I ain't gonna tell it on here, but there's a story behind that song. You know, we called Brent Bedsoe, who's a assistant coach over at Spanish Fort, and might add he's a head golf coach too, Mark.
Yep.
Of course, spent a lot of time with Joey Jones at South Alabama, but he kind of got his feet wet at Auburn with Coach Pat Dye, and we, of course, spent some time talking about Coach Dye this morning. Brent, good morning, pal. Thanks for taking some time out from cooking pancakes and spending it with PSR this morning, pal.
Well, thank you. Good to talk to you and to Mark and to Corey, and appreciate what y'all do. I mean, it says everybody says it, but I mean, you guys do a great job, and we appreciate what y'all do every Saturday morning.
Well, it's a labor of love, and on a sidebar, and I want to say this about Brent. Brent's very involved with a group of men that I know a little bit about at Spanish Fort United Methodist Church, and a group of men that meet together every Wednesday morning. Been doing it by Zoom since this COVID, but very, 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 very informative group that keeps a lot of people in their prayers, and I know that that's it's been a labor of really an intense labor during the last 3 to 4 months with a lot of things going on and a lot of families in need of prayer and a lot of families in need of help. And thank you for being a part of that, Brent. That's something that when that thing first started, that was a goal of three men that wanted to see that community united and a group of men come together as one, and it certainly has come to fruition, and thank you for being a major part of that.
Well, thank you for starting that. You're being very humble about yourself, but you and Jim Roberts and I think Jay Morgan, y'all got together and started Fight Club years ago, and we appreciate y'all for doing that.
Well, and Bill Hart, who we just lost, was instrumental in that as well. And so, but we want to, and thank you for saying that. But, and Pat Dye, I mean, when you heard on Monday that he had passed away, kind of go through some thoughts that you had and time that you spent with him. We're just going to kind of give you the freedom here to just kind of to talk about Coach Dye, because I know he's a very important part of your life.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you so much for allowing me to do this, because, I've spent a lot of time, even before Monday, thinking about what he did in my life. And my goal was to go sit on his porch out there in Notasauga one more time and just talk with him and spend time with him. But, I didn't get a chance to do that before this came about. And thought he was coming home. I talked to Coach Witt right when he went to the hospital in Atlanta. And Coach Witt said, oh, he's doing better. He's going to be home soon. And That next thing I know, it was Monday and he had passed away. So I really do think he was on the mend, and then all of a sudden something else triggered and he passed away Monday. But it all started back in 1985 when Coach Dye, I walked in that office and said I wanted to walk on and play football, all 5'10", 165 pounds of me at the time. And he said, well, you can come out in January and try out. It's not, you don't get to just walk on at Auburn and a lot of places. You have to try out. And so I went through the tryout in January and into spring, started with winter workouts. And I got cut. First, right after spring practice of 85, I got cut. And so I wasn't on the team then. And so I waited and went back to his office and said, well, I got cut. I said, when can I try again? I said, I'm not giving up. I said, I want to be a coach, and I want to play college football because I want to be a college football coach, and I think you got to do that to play to be able to do that. And he said, well, you don't have to. He said, but he said, if you think you want to try out again, you can come back in January of 86. So I came back in January of 86, tried out, and this time I made it. I made the team, and I don't know if it's because he felt sorry for me, or it sure wasn't because of talent. It must have been he felt sorry for me and he let me come on the team. But what I learned from that point forward was the kind of man that he was. And, he didn't care if you could play dead in a cowboy movie. He just, if you were one of his boys, you were one of his boys. And if you could help the team in any capacity, he wanted you on the team. And I remember he had spring meetings. Every spring he'd bring every single player in one by one into his office. You had to get an appointment and you go in and sit down. And he looked at me and he said, Brent, he said, he said, you probably will never play a down here at Auburn as far as in a game. He said, but you're very important. This is after we'd gone through spring. He said, you are going to be the guy that's going to help get these guys ready for Saturday. You're a very good scout team player. and you can do a lot of things for this team if you'll accept that role. And I said, Coach, I accept it. And I said, then let the rest of it fall where it may. Well, his prognosis of my skills was accurate. I did not get to play a whole. I mean, I held for extra points and field goals was about the only thing I ever did. But he gave me an opportunity to be around a program that he built and watched how tough he was on us. I mean, the winter workouts we did from January through February before we went into spring training were as hard as anything I'd ever done in my life. I mean, it'd make you quit football is what it did. But he was really tough, and he wanted tough players and tough boys on his team. But more than anything, he taught us a lot about life. And you hear people say that about coaches, and that's what we got to do. We got to teach these young men about life. That's why it's so important how we act around our players. And we've got, and I have a hard time with guys that can't, that feel like they got to cuss their players and feel like they got to berate their player. I can't tolerate that. I tell them if they're on the staff that I'm on, I say, guys, that ain't how we're supposed to act. We're not supposed to do those things. And just really, really bothers me. It's something I really have to pray about a lot. But anyway, Coach Dye, they taught us a lot of things. One thing that he always told us, he said, men, shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you still fall among the stars. And that resonated with me. And then the second Dye-ism or axism or axiom, whatever you want to call it, he said, take care of the little things in life, and the big things will take care of themselves. And those two things is what I've kind of built my life on, is what Coach Dye taught us. Shoot for the moon, and I've done that. I've shot for the moon. I've coached in college football, wanted to be an SEC head coach and all that stuff. Didn't make that goal yet. Y'all know me. I'm not going to give up on anything. Now, will I do that at age 55? Probably not, but I'm going to still shoot for the moon at everything I do. And then when I don't hit that mark, I may fall among the stars. And I'm going to definitely take care of the little things. I mean, my wife will tell you, when I'm doing the checkbook, I look for one penny. If my checkbook's off one penny, I don't just go in there and write down the new balance. I go in there and find, why is that thing off a penny? Did I not add something in there? Did I write something wrong? I mean, I'll spend hours looking for that one penny in my checkbook. But that's taking care of the little things. So I guess to not talk so much and to let y'all talk, it's your show, but there's so many things I could say about Coach Dye. There's just not enough time and not enough paper in the world I could write it all down on either. So he just meant so much to me. And then you talked about Joe Witt and James Daniels and Daniel, and those two men were big influences in my life, especially Coach Witt. I mean, I went back to Auburn as a graduate assistant twice because of Coach Witt. And he's just like a father to me, and love him to death. Talked to him last week and just thank the world of him. And I can't say enough about Coach Dye and that staff and what they did for me. Steve Dennis, Larry Blakeney, Wayne Hall, Bud Casey, Reggie Herring. I mean, I could go on and on with guys that mean a lot to me.
Well, you know, when you talk about it, boy, you mentioned a lot of names that bring back a lot of
Bud
memories.
Casey.
Bud Casey,
boy,
man alive.
I love that guy.
I'm telling you. And, of course, we lost Bud, a couple of years ago. But, you know, Brent, I think the thing when you look at Coach Dye's tenure at Auburn, I think the one thing that I think everybody has to know is that I don't know that there's ever a man. David Housel probably would be a good guy to talk to about this, but this is a guy that just – he bought into Auburn. I mean, he really did. He's a guy that played at Georgia, you know, he became an Auburn man through and through. And it as many times as I was able to talk to him, it was just, you could just feel it. You could just feel the enthusiasm and the passion that he had for Auburn and the Auburn people, and not only his players, but his staff. And you were blessed. I mean, that you were blessed and fortunate to have spent that time with him at Auburn. I mean, I think those years, what, 85, 86, another went 10-2. And then 9-1-2 and 10-2 in 88 and 10-2 in 89. But boy, just what we talked about earlier. I don't know that any coach in the SEC was more, and I want to be sure I use the right word here, was more supportive, I guess, of high school coaches than Coach Dye. I mean, he just had a passion for them.
Yeah, he knew exactly what what side the bread was buttered on. And he knew it happened with the high school coaches. And, you know, that's what we can't lose sight of, how important we are to the whole system of what, however successful Alabama and Auburn become over the next few years, because of us. It's because of us high school coaches that are molding these men that are ready to go to work for those men at Alabama and Auburn and Troy and South Alabama and UAB and the UNA. I mean, you go around the state and then outside of the state. Don't take lightly what Alabama coaches do. If you're a coach listening to this program, you've got a big, big responsibility to get your men ready, not just on the football field, but also in their attitude and work ethic as well.
Brent, thank you so much for taking time out this morning to talk about Coach Dye. I mean, you live it every day. And, I mean, the lessons that you learned being with him and being a part of that staff, which was probably as fine a staff as ever been associated at any university. And I mean that. Yes. Coach Bryant had some great staffs at Alabama. Coach Dye, certainly, he did not miss out. He just had a tremendous staff, and every time he lost one, he replaced him with someone equal or better. And it's just what a legacy Pat Dye left at Auburn, and I'm so happy that you were a part of it. And God bless you, pal. I love you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Love you too, and you guys, thank y'all for having me on. And last thing I'll say, Coach Dye built the culture that we currently have at Auburn right now. He built that thing back in '81. And it's still building to this day.
Yes, no doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt. We'll be back with more PSR on Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning, y'all, we're going to take a little different tour on our Camp Grace, and we have a guest going to talk to you for a second, my very dear friend, Ralph Watson, basketball coach at Bayside Academy, assistant football coach at Bayside Academy, and seventh grade science teacher at Bayside Academy, and FCA sponsor at Bayside Academy. Ralph stays busy, folks, if you can't tell by all that, but he is a man of God, and he wants to share with y'all this morning. So, Coach Ralph, we are so proud to have you on our show this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you guys so much. An honor to be able to take a couple of minutes of some listeners and to maybe encourage their heart with something. So if I could, I just wrote down a few things that I wanted to share in a strange and unusual time. So that's what I will do. And one of the things that, during this time, when Coach Mark, when you texted me the other day and asked if I would do it, I said, sure. And as soon as I hung up, I said, all right, now what in the world am I going to say? Do I give me some political rant of what I think and what my feelings? And I said, no, I need to turn to the Word of God and let God's Word answer, because His words are a lot better than mine. So anyway, the first thing that came to my mind, Coach Mark, when you emailed me or texted me, was this, and it was John 16:33, and the second part of that, and I want to share that. It says, in this world, you will have trouble. These are Jesus' words. In this world, you will have trouble. And it says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And that's when I just stopped and paused to think about that. I'm like, whoa, that's really heavy. Because Jesus is telling us, hey, I've overcome it. It's going to be hard. There are a lot of bumps in the road. Sometimes they don't seem like bumps. They seem like mountains. And then one of the chapters that I love so much is the book of Romans, chapter 8. And so listeners, if I could encourage you with this real quick, and Pastor Jack Hester, my wonderful pastor at Mars Hills Church, he would get on me about picking and choosing certain verses, because you always got to make sure you don't just pull out. We can always do that in the world, whether it's secular or spiritual world, pulling out one verse and making it fit like we want. But this is from chapter 8, and I'd encourage all listeners to go read that chapter. It's tremendous. But here's a couple of verses. Verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And that is verse 18 of chapter 8. And then jumping over to 22, it says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." And I don't know about you guys, but it sure seems that way to me right now, that it's groaning. The earth is groaning from this pandemic, from the violence that we've seen going on in our community and in our nations. You know, fortunately, not as much here on the Eastern Shore, but certainly there's been some cases over in different parts, and certainly in Mobile. But, and then going down, Coach, verse 28, it says, verse 28 of Romans chapter 8 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." That's not telling us that it's just because of, you know, it's all going to be good, you know, all the time and every day and every waking moment. But it's all, even the difficult struggles are so good, and they make us grow and they stretch us. Then going over to 35, and I'm wrapping it up here, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" And it goes, and skipping over to 37, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And verse 38 through 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen.
So coming full circle there, Coach, I go back to John 16:33. It says, "In this world you're going to have trouble." And it says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So my encouragement would be, if you don't know him, I'd love to talk to you. Call me, email me. I'm rwatson@baysideacademy.org. Love to encourage you. And, Coach, that's kind of what God laid on my heart. So I hope that means something to somebody. It means a lot to me. And I hope that encourages somebody's heart.
You know, it's ironic that you did that this morning, because Romans is a book that I spend a lot of time in too. And, you know, the 8th chapter really declares that those who are with Christ are more than conquerors. Yep. And those who are with God should not fear anything else of the world, because God is greater than all things.
You're
and
right.
he gave his only son in order to save all humans. And that will surely give those of us who have accepted Christ that wonderful, wonderful knowledge that we do have. And Ralph, thank you so much for that. And
brother, I hope that was encouraging to somebody.
It was, buddy.
It was.
It means a lot to me, and appreciate y'all letting me be able to share it.
Well, it was, and let me tell you what we appreciate about you. We appreciate, first of all, that you are a ministry. Every sport you coach has always been a ministry. One of the great mistakes I made at Fairhope High School was not hiring Ralph Watson. I will never forget the day that his father-in-law came to me and said, "I got a guy that would be a good fit." So I think about that often. The worst mistake I might have made was not hiring this guy, because what a difference he eventually made, and he could have made it a few years earlier. And boy, what a
maybe
difference!
Maybe God needed me somewhere else.
That's true.
You know
that's
what I'm
true.
Saying? Yep. Hey, maybe he needed something else done. Apparently.
Yeah. You know, not having enough knowledge on my part at that time was ignorance, and that's just something that God worked through. And I'm thankful that you are where you are today. I'm thankful that you're a part of what's going on at Bayside, and I'm just thankful that you are where you are in your life today. And may God's blessings continue to flow through you and your family's life.
I appreciate you, Rick. Appreciate you, brother Mark.
My buddy.
Awesome, man.
Thank you, pal.
Take care, pal.
All right, buddy.
God bless
take
you,
care.
Coach.
All right, guys. Love y'all.
Take care.
Boy, you talk about being fortunate. If your kids play for Ralph Watson,
man,
you play for a guy who believes in the right thing. Now, we talk on this show all the time about what our job is. He lives it
every day
of his life. All you got to do is spend a day with him.
Yep.
It'll change your life if you spend a day with Ralph Watson, because he keeps things in the right perspective. Great coach, great family guy, great husband, and a great teacher and a great role model for our kids.
You know, and you say that, and I think about who we had on today. Think about Eric Kier. Yes. Same thing. Same thing. Same exact thing. We just had Brent Bedsole on here. Same way. Same mold. Same heart. Same passion. You know, that's what it's all about. Yep. That's what it's all about, folks. If you have children that play for those men, you are blessed. You are blessed, and your children have a foundation outside of their parents who give them a great foundation, we hope and pray. But those men lay a great foundation for what is to come in the future. Thanks for being a part of our show. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you.